All right, good morning. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I CRS. The time is 9:35, and the date is Wednesday, April 18th. This is a continuation of a meeting from Wednesday, April 16th, when we initially convened the Title Board pursuant to statute. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The Title Board today consists of myself, Suzanne Steyert, Deputy Secretary of State, on behalf of Scott Gessler, Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, Designee of Attorney General John Southers, and Sharon Eubanks, Deputy Director, OLLS, Designee of Director of Office of Legal Services, Dan Carton. Also to my far right is Sue Anna Johnson of the Attorney General's Office, and to my far left is Steve Ward of the Elections Division. Today we are meeting to consider title setting for, I believe, six proposed measures. There are two titles for each measure. One is a statement and the other is a statement in the form of a question. Changes adopted by the Title Board to the first title in the staff draft will be considered adopted for the other title. When the Title Board considers an initiative, the Board will follow three steps. The board may ask questions of the proponent to ensure the board members understand the proposal, and then the board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. If the board does have jurisdiction, it will issue a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes. Copies of the staff drafts are on the table. Generally, we'll take all testimony first, and then the board will discuss and vote after testimony has been completed. Please take note that we are not concerned with the merits of any proposal here. We are only concerned with the setting of titles. Furthermore, we are not concerned with legal or constitutional objections to the measures, except to the extent that such objections relate to the jurisdiction of the board to set titles or to the correctness of the titles and the summaries themselves. Anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the Title Board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days. I want to just draw attention to that provision because in the Colorado statutes it indicates there are 7 days from the date that we set title to file that motion for rehearing, which would be April 25th. But that would be from Wednesday.
Wednesday would be the 23rd.
The 23rd, okay. So if you file on the 25th, because the statute says that Title Board is supposed to convene on Wednesday, if you file for rehearing on this, it's our suggestion or our caution that you not wait until next Friday to file for rehearing and that you actually file that on Wednesday, because that is going to be a case of first impression in front of the Supreme Court in terms of those timelines, because this is the last meeting of the year. Filing on the 25th means potentially you'll draw an argument from the other side that your rehearing is not timely filed because it missed the 7-day deadline from last Wednesday. So I hope that makes sense. You know, you're all lawyers and you can figure out what you need to do with that, but I'm just pointing out that there is that conflict in the law between the 7, and you may want to err on the side of caution. So the first item on the agenda today is proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 97. If the proponent a representative can introduce yourself and your proponents.
Yeah, good morning. May it please the board. My name is Sarah Clark. I'm from the law firm Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Schreck, and I am here appearing on the proponents for Initiative 97, Mike Calicrate and Angela Smith. I'll just note for the record that the proponents are here and sitting in the audience, and they've signed their affidavits. So I'm happy to proceed however the board would like. Oh, first of all, I do want to just take a quick moment and thank the board for accommodating the continuance of the hearing until today so that our proponents could be here. I know it was a very big agenda, and I really appreciate the board's consideration.
Sure. Just so you know, next week if there are rehearings, there's not going to be much room to do any kind of accommodations for anyone who's in the room, because we have 48 hours from the time of filing rehearings to hear them. And so, you know, if you're here on the last day of the Title Board, you pretty much have to be willing to be available at some point during that next Thursday or Friday.
So, thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you start by telling us what you believe the single subject of your initiative is?
The purpose and single subject of this initiative is concerning the welfare of livestock and companion animals, and in that regard is to remove an exception in the animal cruelty statutes for accepted animal husbandry practices.
Okay. Anyone have any questions on the single subject?
I'm not sure if this is a single subject question or not, but I noticed, I just want to make sure. So in my version, the word or is struck through. Is that? That would seem to be a significant difference, or potentially a significant difference, if it were to read, the revised version were to read, nothing, et cetera, shall affect accepted animal husbandry practices utilized by any person in the extermination of undesirable pests, would be significantly different than if it just said husbandry practices utilized by any person or in the extermination of undesirable pests. I just have trouble not being, you know, a farmer or rancher myself, viewing extermination of undesirable pests as being part of husbandry, but I could be wrong about that.
So these exceptions that are provided for in this subsection of the statute deal with these three titles, Title 7, 10, and 43. And with respect to animal husbandry practices as it relates to companion and livestock animals, that is found in Title 43, and that's the exemption that we're seeking to strike and remove from the statute. But with respect to the animal husbandry practices as to undesirable pests, we're not seeking to affect those.
Okay. So, all right. That's what I thought I understood. It just reads a little bit strange, I guess, but that's okay.
I can understand that, and I think that's important that we make sure that the title helps to inform voters because, you know, this, just sort of reading this initiative, you know, in and of itself without the context of what this is getting at, I think voters might be confused because they won't have the background about, you know, what is in Title 7, 10, 43, you know, and how does that relate to what this is trying to do.
Okay, that was my only sort of question, I think, at this point.
Is there anybody else here who wishes to speak on the issue of jurisdiction of the board? No? All right. Make a motion.
I would move that we find that proposed initiative number 97 constitutes a single subject and proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Let's put the staff draft up. Do you have comments on the staff draft?
I do. To the comments of Solicitor General Domenico, I think it might be important to change a little bit of the language to better help voters understand, you know, what this initiative is seeking to do. And if the board would be willing, I do have a copy of a revised title that I would be willing to pass out.
Sure.
Thank you. Oh, cash. Nice.
It was awfully big.
I know. I'm your supplier.
So the language, the proposed changes here from the proponents doesn't change the language so much as reverses a little bit of the order to better alert the voters as to what this initiative is seeking to do. So the topic and subject really being concerning the welfare of livestock and companion animals, and then sort of in that, you know, sort of to that regard and sort of in that way, repealing the exemption that exists in the statute with respect to the livestock and companion animals. So it would read, a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the welfare of livestock and companion animals, and in connection therewith, repealing an exemption in the animal cruelty statutes for accepted animal husbandry practices.
I don't really, doesn't matter to me which order we put in, but I do think it very easy to get rid of the concerning and in connection therewith, and then just say a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes repealing an exemption in the animal cruelty statutes for accepted animal husbandry practices?
With respect to companion livestock and companion animals? That, well, that
just
would be
using your language. Yeah, for the welfare of livestock and companion animals. Just using your language, but getting rid of the concerning and in connection therewith. I mean, it's such a simple question. We're not making a long list that I think we could.
The proponents would be amenable to that, that language.
It's got something about welfare. I don't know. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yeah, offhand, I don't think with this approach that you have to go sort of in terms of the welfare, because you're basically just describing what the exemption is that you're getting rid of. I think that instead of with respect to, maybe we're going to just say used in the care. That might be a little simpler.
I just spoke with the proponents who have significant experience in this area, and one concern is used in the care of seems to indicate, might indicate that it's sort of in, that it's sort of how the animals are being cared for, and rather than maybe a better way to phrase it might be with respect to the care of. You feel comfortable with that?
That's what it was. I mean,
or what if you say
I'm sorry, related to.
Oh, related to.
Or you could say practices for the care. I mean.
The word is the, take out care.
I don't know that I feel strongly one way or the other.
Yeah,
I think the issue might be the care of. So maybe just with you know, with respect to or related to companion or livestock animals.
I like related.
Because I'll tell you, one of the concerns is that animal husbandry practices is defined in the statutes, but it's not sort of enumerated what all of the animal husbandry practices are. So I think this is seeking to eliminate the exemption altogether, not just with respect to animal husbandry practices that might be used in sort of a narrow window of in the care of, but rather just with related to companion or livestock animals, or as to companion and livestock animals, to encompass sort of the whole universe of animal husbandry practices that might be used with those animals.
Yeah, that's fine. Just get rid of the care of.
Animal husbandry practices. Would as to, I think, probably the same thing, but as to companion or livestock animals?
Four?
Mm-hmm. One technical question I did have for the board was the word repealing. And in the sense that, and, you know, I think, Ms. Eubanks, this might be a question more specifically directed at you. Do citizen initiatives technically repeal a Colorado revised statute, or is it only the legislature that has power to repeal? For example, you know, a Supreme Court case would supersede a piece of legislation. Would remove be more accurate, technically speaking, than repeal?
Well, I think what you're doing is you're repealing the exemption. It's not necessarily that you're repealing the statute per se. I mean, there's a statutory basis for the exemption, and you're eliminating that. Whether you want to say eliminating the exemption, I don't know if there's much difference from a technical, and, you know, the voters generally don't recognize, but if you think that eliminating the exemption is gives more information to the voters, I think it's equivalent to repealing. So change that terminology.
What do you got?
Oh, I was just looking at Article 5 to see how it talks about what power the people have, right, and it regarding legislation, and it says to reject is anything done by the legislature, which I think for a title, any of them, I don't think we have to be as technical as we might be in other places. So I'm happy, I'm fine with any of the versions we've used.
How about the content of the question?
The which one?
Just the content of the
title. Yeah, I'm basically okay with it. I understand that it's a little bit, it reads a little bit funny, the relationship between husbandry practices and companion or livestock animals. But I think, like, practices for these animals is a little funny. I thought practices relating to might be a little bit better, but it's okay. Not perfect either. So
let's do okay. Related to.
Should or be.
All right, should we collapse it? Or do you want to move the changes?
Sure. I'll go ahead and move the changes as reflected on the screen.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. So the way it reads right now is a change to the Colorado revised statutes, eliminating the exemption in the animal cruelty statutes for accepted animal husbandry practices related to companion or livestock animals.
And I would move that we adopt the title as you just read for number 97.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 98. If you can just state your name and your proponents for the record, and then maybe briefly tell us the differences in the two.
Yes, thank you. Again, my name is Sarah Clark from the law firm Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck. I'm here on behalf of the proponents for Initiative 98, Mike Calicrate and Angela Smith, who are here in the audience and who have signed the affidavits as required by the statute. The difference between Initiative 97 and this Initiative 98 is that Initiative 97 seeks to change the Colorado revised statutes. This initiative seeks to add an amendment to the Colorado Constitution. Both initiatives concern the welfare of livestock and companion animals, and in that regard, seek to remove the exemption in the animal cruelty statutes that deals with the animal husbandry practices relating to those animals.
Okay. And for the record, I guess they wouldn't technically conflict, but would it be your intent to only circulate one of these?
Yes, it okay. would be the intent of the proponents to only circulate one.
Okay. All right, then why don't we just put up the question we had before?
A single subject.
Oh, sure.
I move that number 98 constitutes a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So as it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the removal of an exemption from animal cruelty offenses for accepted animal husbandry practices used in the care of certain animals. And well, so let's get our new language up there.
And while we're doing that, if I could ask
yes,
Clark a question. I know that the staff draft and what we're switching out to still talks about sort of eliminating the exemption, but the terminology in this measure isn't like the previous one, and so, you know, whether negation of elements of an offense really is an exemption,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned of using the same phrases when someone's looking at this measure. It's maybe that's the net effect
mm-hmm.
and the bottom line, but the text of the measure really isn't in those terms.
Correct. Yeah, I hear that concern. We certainly could set some alternate language if you'd like that deals with, you know, maybe sort of the defense to this particular exemption or the use of this exemption in the statute. If the board is uncomfortable using the same title, one concern on the setting the title, I think for voters, the idea of sort of the negation of an elements of an offense is sort of the technical way of providing a defense for. So I've given some thought to how we could articulate that in maybe some plain language, and I'd be happy to share that if the board.
And that would be great because I know we're going to face the same issue with some of the following
mm-hmm.
Initiatives too, in terms of an affirmative defense versus negation of elements. And so mm-hmm. if you have some suggestions along those lines, that would be great.
Yeah, so the language that we could use as some alternate language here would be that it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the welfare of livestock and companion animals, providing, and then in connection therewith, providing that an allegation or a defense of that conduct was in accord with an accepted animal husbandry practice is not a defense to a charge under the animal cruelty statutes.
Do you have that written down?
I didn't bring a copy of that written, but I'd be happy to dictate that again if.
Well, we don't need the concerning, Steve. We can just.
Yeah, I think we're going to combine it like we
yeah.
did.
Yeah, just go to your end point.
Providing that an allegation that conduct was in accordance with an accepted animal husbandry practice. Is not a defense to a charge under the animal cruelty statutes.
And again, if I could ask for some clarification, because I know some of your subsequent measures talk both in terms of defense, affirmative defense, and negation of elements.
Mm-hmm.
And so is really to call this one, which is negation of elements, really a defense? Because if it is, then sort of when we get to these other ones, it's like, well, why have you said it twice? To me, there's really a difference, mm-hmm. even though, you know, the bottom line may be the same result, that someone isn't charged with this offense, but whether it's really different.
I'll say with respect to the other initiatives 99 through 102, because those initiatives seek to designate a violation of those initiatives as being a Class 2 misdemeanor, I believe that I'm not sure that we'll need to deal with the language regarding the defenses, because it sort of is establishing a new sort of, you know, this new violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor, which the proponents believe encompasses, you know, the ideas of sort of the affirmative defense and the negation of the elements. With respect to this initiative, however, this initiative is specifically seeking to remove an exemption from the statute of an offense that is already on the books. So for this statute, for this initiative, rather, it's important to certainly lay that out about what it does and how it does it in terms of the defenses. But with respect to the others, I think it might be encompassed in language that encompasses the fact that there is a criminal offense penalty involved.
Okay, and just from my perspective, I think generally the title board tries to stick to the language rather than making conclusions mm-hmm. or assumptions in terms of what the language actually does, that we try to tend to stay with the language of the that's used in the measure, which defense isn't.
If the title,
killer the one.
Yeah, if the title board feels that we should use does not negate the elements of a charge, the proponents would be okay with that.
But I also understand that I don't know that most people voting on that kind of question would understand what that means either. So
yeah, we're okay either way with respect to this initiative.
Okay.
And I would probably just shorten it and say, eliminating accepted animal husbandry practices as a defense to a charge instead of providing that an allegation that conduct wasn't in court. I don't know. Just say eliminating. As a defense.
Should practices be plural then?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just reading that, I'm not sure I understand, you know, what that means. It is short and sweet, but
feel free.
Well, the previous version was closer to what I had in mind. There was a couple parts I didn't like, calling it an allegation, but you know that, and I think I'm okay with calling it a defense rather than
a negation.
I don't think that's misleading in any way that I can think of. But I was trying to think of a better way to make the point. I mean, an allegation is usually sort of not how you defend yourself by alleging that you did something. So that's, but I'm not sure quite how to rephrase it better. The one way to do it would be to go a little bit more in line with the measure and say something like providing that it is not a defense to a charge under the animal cruelty statutes that conduct and this would potentially let us bring back in the concept of the livestock or companion animal that's not in here now.
I like where you're going, Solicitor General.
So it was basically going to be that a livestock or companion animal was treated in accordance with accepted animal. So it wouldn't say conduct; it would just say that a livestock or companion animal was treated.
I think that's much better and captures the purpose as well as, you know, what the measure does. It sort of it does both the what and the how.
If we're okay with the defense language, I think that's pretty good.
Okay. Okay. Move the changes.
Yes, I'll move that we make the changes to the staff draft as shown on the screen.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, so the way it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution providing that it is not a defense to a charge under the animal cruelty statutes that a livestock or companion animal was treated in accordance with an accepted animal husbandry practice. Right.
And I would move adoption of the title as you just read for number 98.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that takes us to 2013-2014, number 99.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary Steyer. My name is Sarah Clark again from Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck. On behalf of the proponents, Mike Calicrate and Angela Smith, who are here in the audience and who have signed the affidavit according to statute. Initiative number 99 seeks... is concerning the welfare of cattle and seeks to prohibit the cutting or removal of the tails of cattle, which is a practice in the industry that is known as tail docking. And so that is the purpose of the initiative. And then the initiative certainly does things in that regard.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak on this issue? No? All right. Any questions from the board on the single subject?
No. I would move that we find that number 99 constitutes a single subject and we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that takes us to the staff draft. Do you have any comments on the staff draft?
I do, thank you, if I may. A couple of just sort of broad comments with respect to use of the sort of technical terminology of docking and bovine. I think a sort of more common language for the voter, and these terms are defined in the initiative themselves. For bovine, bovine is defined elsewhere in the Colorado Revised Statutes, but bovine is just cattle, and so we would propose sort of use of that word. And then with respect to docking, that also is a term of art. I think people are, who aren't familiar with the industry might not understand that word. And so we would prefer to use language that's in the definition in the title of cutting or removing of the tails of cattle. And I have, if I may, I have a copy of a sort of some revised suggestions, if I may pass this out. I think you'll see I included a track changes version, but also a collapsed version. And you'll see that the collapsed version is a little is a little shorter because I do believe that by sort of combining a little bit of the language, we can, even by being a little bit more descriptive, we can address all of the components of the initiative. So the proposed title would read, a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the welfare of cattle and in connection therewith prohibiting the cutting or removal of tails of cattle unless cut or removed to treat sick or injured cattle as determined by a licensed veterinarian and performed in a manner to minimize pain and suffering and designating a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor.
And what would you think of the idea of, in terms of the exceptions to the prohibition, not really going into as much detail as what you've provided? I mean, I agree the staff draft had too much detail, but even simplifying it further, whether it's, except under certain circumstances, something like that, without needing to talk about, you know, a veterinarian and all of that.
Well, I think we could just say, instead of an exception, if a bovine's tail is, I think we could just say, except to treat sick or injured cattle.
I think the content of the main subject of the exemption, which is that sick or injured cattle would be able to sort of receive this treatment, is might be important for voters to know that that's sort of generally the content of the exemption.
But do we need to say as determined by a vet or?
I
mean, is that central to the measure?
I think so. I think that it might be important to voters to know that this is putting the determination of what is a sick or injured cattle in the hands of a veterinarian and out of the hands of an, out of the hands of the farmer, if you will. That might be something that that would be important to them.
I still think we could get rid of unless cut or removed and then just say except to. We've already described what it is. I don't know. Seems like we could save a few words.
Yeah, I agree with that part.
Except, and you don't, you got two, there you go.
The veterinarian part I could go either way with.
So the proponents would be amenable to taking out the as determined by a licensed veterinarian.
What about performed in a manner to minimize pain and suffering? You want that in there?
Could we leave it and just see how it reads in terms of the length?
Sure.
If you don't mind.
You know, we'll be doing this all over again next week anyway. So everything we put in, we might take out and put back in.
Nancy, right now I don't think it really makes sense. I mean, because then you're getting into all the details about how you're treating the sick or injured cattle. I mean, rather than the major feature is that you're prohibiting the cutting or removal of tails in general.
Right.
And this is an exception to that, and I don't think you need as that much detail on the exception. I'm fine with except to treat sick or injured cattle, but I think the in a manner to minimize pain and suffering should come out.
Okay. Steve, why don't we take that out too? So now we get the conversation about whether we need concerning and in connection therewith.
I think
I was inclined to keep it in,
okay.
But I don't think we can go with the welfare of cattle as the subject. And I'm not, I mean, it has gotten pretty short, but I would probably leave it in, I think. Leave something in, I guess.
One way possibly to look at it, if it doesn't get too cumbersome, might be concerning the welfare of cattle by rather than in connection therewith, because it is so short at the end.
And once you use concerning, you have to use in connection therewith.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course.
And Steve, it's a change there at the very top.
Sorry, I went to public school.
Hey, so did I. So do my kids. And they go to the school you went to. So.
Well, so if we're going to leave something in, the possibilities I can think of would be something like concerning a restriction on the removal of any portion of the tails of cattle or cattle tails, or if we're not going to use docking, which I understand, I think I agree with the proponents that that's not something that people are likely to understand.
Yeah, but then you're going to just turn around and repeat it again.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of my point. So if we take it out, we don't have that problem, but, and it would just be a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes prohibiting the cutting of, et cetera, which is certainly a possibility.
I know it's a little more clunky with the concerning and the in connection therewith, but the proponents are satisfied with it as it reads. I think it clearly sets off the prohibition on the cutting or removal of tails and then the designation of the...
Well, the problem we're having is we don't like the subject. So we don't like the concerning the welfare of cattle. So we're going to have to change the subject, and then we get into the question of do we need to do that or should we just set out what the... what it does. Is it simple enough to just set out what it does versus trying to capture a title? Because when we try to capture a single subject, that's when we get into these catchphrase type things.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the concerning the welfare of cattle here, I can understand the sort of subject issue. This statute is a change to the animal cruelty statutes, and one concern that I have is by changing the subject to deal more specifically with cattle or tail docking, that people who maybe haven't read the initiative might not quite understand sort of what it's affecting, if it's affecting sort of the statutes that are related to the farming sort of practices or with respect to animal cruelty. So I think using the welfare of cattle more accurately gets at where the change is happening within the statutes, which is the animal cruelty statutes.
And I guess right now I'm inclined to take that the existing concerning statement out and perhaps you just say a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes prohibiting the cutting or removal of tails of cattle except to treat sick or injured cattle and in connection therewith designating violations as a Class 2 misdemeanor. And that
I think that's probably better than either of the two alternatives I've been able to think of.
Because then you've got your single subject, which is prohibiting the cutting or removal of tails. And then because you're talking about making it a crime, I think you have to have then and in their connection therewith. Because I can't figure out a way to combine it all into one phrase.
Okay. Oh, well, I would think just saying and designating a violation would work fine, wouldn't it? Because I don't know why necessarily, but if we're not using the concerning, the way I always think of it is the concerning in connection therewith is basically sort of a very formal way of complying with the statutory requirement that we, the constitutional requirement that we state the subject, the title has to state the subject and state the material feature, the major features of it, right? And that, the in connection, if we use some of that language, I tend to want to use all of it, I guess is my point, because the in connection therewith sort of is, to me, the begin. Here's all the major features when we use it. And that's my sort of theory of that language. So I had one suggestion. I kind of like this, but my one suggestion would be to go back to our discussion of the role of the veterinarian, not necessarily to reinsert a lot of that, but to potentially say after accept what's now on line two, except to say except when necessary or when medically necessary would at least suggest the idea that it's sort of there's some kind of objective standard as opposed to mean to delete anything. Just add
the treat.
Yeah, just to add. No.
Put
well,
it,
I guess you could put it there.
I think he meant.
Put yeah,
it
I meant
above
between
treat,
except and to.
Except when medically necessary to treat. He can't read our minds.
No, I know. Can't you see where I'm looking?
The proponents agree, Solicitor General Domenico, that I think that captures the sort of the concern that we raised earlier about the veterinarian and the role there.
And I guess just because I'm strange, should there be a comma after cattle on line two? If or not. No?
No, I don't think we need one.
The second can. Okay, never mind. Okay, just in terms of... But if we don't think we need to set off, that's fine. Can take it out.
All right, you want me to read it? We didn't move the changes, but...
You want to... Can you go back to the change version? Mark it. I would move that we adopt the changes to the staff draft to number 99 as reflected on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so as it reads now, it's a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes prohibiting the cutting or removal of tails of cattle except when medically necessary to treat sick or injured cattle and designating a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor.
And I would move adoption of the title for number 99 as you just read.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So that takes us to 2013-2014, number 100. Which kind of brings us back to the same discussion we had last time. Why don't you go ahead and just for the record.
Yeah, thank you, Deputy Secretary Steyert. My name is Sarah Clark from Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck. I am here representing the proponents of initiative number 100, Mike Calicrate and Angela Smith, who are here in the audience and who have signed the affidavit pursuant to the statute. The main differences between initiative 100 and initiative 99, the initiative that we were just took up, is that Initiative 100 is an amendment to the Constitution rather than a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes. And then the only other significant change, or difference between the two, rather, is that rather than designating a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor, it directs the General Assembly to enact implementing legislation, including penalty provisions.
So it might be helpful if we start out with the title we just did for 99.
Okay. And then add what we did to the title. Because we had the affirmative defense language back in here again.
Well, you also had it with 99, I mean, which we didn't include in the title.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, and I would incorporate my record from when we were discussing Initiative 97 on that with respect to the inclusion of the penalty provisions as sort of encompassing the affirmative defense and the negation of the elements of the offense.
Okay. And I think perhaps, just to reflect the differences between 99 and 100, is on the last portion, talking about designating a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor, we remove that language. And you could say something like, and requiring the establishment of penalties. Because I really don't think we need to go into all the detail about the General Assembly enacting and implementing. Even though I'm fine with the whole legislative process, but
you don't think it's central?
Well, as to how they're established, I don't know that that's as important.
We haven't, I don't think we've done our single subject formality just yet. So.
I would move that we find that number 100 constitutes a single subject and proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
So let me just say, I think I'm basically okay with this. The last measure, for the reasons that Ms. Clark stated about the structure of creating a crime and then basically saying, you know, there's not an affirmative defense, didn't seem necessary to me. Here, where I think, right, there could be civil crime, civil penalties, et cetera, I wonder if the affirmative defense language is more relevant than it was to the last one, where someone could, in the absence of what's section 3B and C here, make an argument that wouldn't be, you wouldn't really be able to make under the previous one. I'm not sure it is. It is different in that, you know, if the legislature were to say, well, this doesn't rise to the level of a criminal penalties or whatever we're going to do, then somebody could come back and say, well, be charged separately under the existing animal cruelty laws and bring an affirmative defense, and then you would have to invoke this language. I just wonder if it's more relevant here than it was on 99 or 98.
Because it's still requiring the legislative action, and you don't know exactly what all that will entail. And I'm,
right.
I'm fine with that. I think if we go that route, then perhaps after sick or injured cattle, we have to do and connection therewith, and then you go requiring establishment of penalties, and then you can go on about the the defense language, which perhaps we can pull from
the other one
of the titles that we did, 97 or 98.
I think that's a good idea.
So after cattle?
After cattle, and say, and in connection therewith. Take out that and then after penalties, comma, and like I said, that language perhaps that we did for
98. You know what? I'm looking at it a little more carefully. Might be changing my mind because 3B and C are actually limited to a defense to charges under this section. And so, to the extent there might be a charge under the existing animal cruelty statutes or some statute created separately from this, which is what I was sort of concerned about, those sections wouldn't apply. So to the extent there's an affirmative defense under the existing animal cruelty statutes, right, there it would survive this, I think.
Yeah, that's right, Solicitor General Domenico. The language of the initiative reads for those provisions that it's not affirmative defense to allege violations of this section. So it would apply sort of only as to this section. And
so then I think it is closer to the last measure, honestly, right?
That we don't need to have the
discussion. And I'm not sure. I don't know that we need it. Because I think whatever the legislature would do would be, it would apply to, and then the same analysis that led us to skip it last time would lead us to the same place here.
So we can probably get rid of in connection and, okay, great.
Yeah.
Move the changes?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and move the changes to the staff draft for number 100 as reflected on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So as it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution prohibiting the cutting or removal of tails of cattle except when medically necessary to treat sick or injured cattle and requiring the establishment of penalties.
So I would move adoption of the title for number 100 as you just read.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2013-2014, number 101.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary Steyer. My name is Sarah Clark from Brownstein Hyatt Farber Schreck. I am here on behalf of the proponents for this initiative. Jacqueline Payune and Mike Calicrate are the proponents for this initiative. I just wanted to put into the record, I think there was a little confusion on the part of the Office of Legislative Counsel with regard to who the proponents were here. Their review and comments were sent to Angela Smith and Mike Calicrate, but Jacqueline Payune is the second proponent of that initiative. So I just wanted to make that clarification. I know that it's been clarified. It's clear in the documents and it's clear on the website, but there's just that little hiccup. I wanted to make sure to get that on the record. The subject of a proposed initiative 101, I will say Jacqueline Payune and Mike Calicrate are sitting in the audience and have signed affidavits as required by statute. Initiative 101 concerns the welfare of dairy cows, which is different than cattle. Dairy cows are defined in the language of the proposed initiative. The initiative seeks to enact several provisions regarding that subject, the welfare of dairy cows.
All right. Anybody here wishes to speak on this item? Questions on single subject?
No. All right. I would move that we find that number 101 constitutes a single subject and proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, let's move on to the proposed staff draft. Did you bring comments?
I did. Thank Great. You, Deputy Secretary Steyer. I'll pass those out.
Thank you.
You'll notice in the copies that there are two pages. The first page is the track changes version. The second page is the collapsed version. You notice the collapsed version is a little bit shorter than the staff draft. A couple of changes that I would note. I think I accidentally gave the attorney the first copy. Thank you. Similarly to our discussion that we had with respect to initiatives number 99 and 100, the docking terminology, I think we can use perhaps the cutting or removal phrasing instead, because that's a little bit more in terms of plain language. In addition, the use of the word non-ambulatory, that also is sort of a technical term that is defined in the initiative itself, and it just means a dairy cow who will not walk or stand unassisted. And so the changes that I've had, that I've provided to you, that the proponents have provided, include that include that sort of terminology change as well. I'll read the collapsed version of in the proponent's language. It would read, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the welfare of dairy cows and in connection therewith, prohibiting a dairy farm owner or operator from cutting or removing the tail of a dairy cow, except to treat sick or injured cows as determined by a licensed veterinarian. And with respect to that, I think certainly the language we used in initiatives 99 and 100 might shorten that up even a little more. And from confining a cow in a way that prevents her from lying down, standing up, fully extending her limbs, or turning around freely. Prohibiting cows who will not walk or stand unassisted from being transported to or accepted by a slaughtering facility, livestock market, feedlot, or similar facility, and requiring that such cows be promptly treated or euthanized by a licensed veterinarian, and directing the Colorado Assembly to enact implementing legislation, including penalty provisions. And again, perhaps that language we could shorten in accordance with initiative number 100 that we just dealt with.
Well, I think we've got to go with that in connection therewith. I just don't know that I like the single subject.
I'm much more comfortable with treatment. I think that welfare has potential problems in terms of being a catchphrase.
Right.
And so I think treatment's a better word to use.
I agree with that. Can I just ask a question, make sure I understand the scope of this? Because reading the definitions, so a dairy cow is any cow held on a dairy farm. And then a dairy farm is any land, et cetera, that's used wholly or partially for the production of dairy cows or milk. So my question is, if someone has a large ranch or farm that includes both some dairy production and maybe some other types of cattle that are on the same farm potentially, would that not pull within these definitions of dairy cow, even the other cattle that are not themselves really being used for dairy cow, but are living for dairy purposes, but are living on a farm that's used at least partially for the production of milk? Maybe that's just something that nobody ever does. And they're really always separate. I'm not expert enough in these practices to know, but I just had a little bit of a concern about pulling into it any cattle that live on any farm that produces any milk.
The dairy cows are an entirely separate species, and just in terms of cows that... They're a separate breed, excuse me. And so the intent of this is really to concern dairy farm owners and operators and dairy cows specifically. As to how those words would be construed in terms of their application, that may be, you know, a question for down the road in terms of the interpretation of the statute. But as to the measure is very clearly seeking to address the treatment and welfare of dairy cows specifically.
Okay. I mean, it's only a potential problem in some of the language we might use in the title, I think, about how broad or narrow we want to make it.
Yeah, I will note that different from Initiative 199 with respect to the cutting or removal of tails, you'll notice that the suggested language here specifically says prohibiting a dairy farm owner or operator. In the other initiatives, it prohibited the practice. So I think in terms of narrowing the scope of who this applies to for voters to understand what the intent of the initiative is, that really, we've tried to put that right up front, that this is applying to dairy farm owners and dairy farm operators.
Okay. It just seems to me that it's at least possible to read the definitions more broadly than being limited to a certain breed of cattle or farms that are solely dealing with them. That's all, that's my only, just gives me a little bit of pause. But I think we can move on at this point, at least, to finishing up the title.
And I guess even in terms of the proponent's proposed language, it still seems way too detailed to me. Whether or not we can utilize some of the work we've done on the earlier initiatives. I mean, if it's important that it's, you know, dairy farmer, owner, or operator, to say that this prohibition applies to them, fine. But perhaps to say prohibiting a dairy farm owner or operator from cutting or removing the tail of a dairy cow except when medically necessary to treat sick or injured cows. I don't know exactly what to do. You haven't made any mention of the procurement of the cutting and whether that's important too, because it's not just that the dairy farm owner does it themselves, they get somebody else to do it is still a violation, and whether to give notice of that.
I think the that's sort of a, I think that might get into a question sort of later on down the road about sort of an agency principle, if the, you know, if the farm owner operator had procured that by someone else. I think, you know, the proponents feel comfortable that putting people on notice that this is holding dairy farm owners or operators accountable for that is, that's really what the initiative is aimed at. And sort of the procurement language that's in the initiative is just to ensure the application of agency law to the initiative so that an owner or operator, but that to me seems a little ancillary to the main purpose of applying this to farm owners or operators.
Okay. And then in terms of the confinement, I think we could boil it way down to something more about prohibiting the confinement of any dairy cow in a certain manner. I mean, in terms of, you know, how restrictive it is about lying down, standing up, those types of things, I just don't think that we need that kind of detail in the title.
There's a couple of, I think, concerns with that, and we should talk about that. I appreciate the shortening of the language. However, there is one concern that I might have as a voter reading this in the ballot box or the voting booth, might be concerned about some of the exceptions that there are to that. And so although the language that we didn't provide didn't include it, it might be sort of except under temporary circumstances. Because the confinement, the exception that's in the initiative itself.
In terms of
for transportation.
I mean, and also in terms of medically necessary.
That's right. And so, you know, 4-H programs, that kind of thing. And so I would be a little concerned by shortening it that much to not include the exception. The other concern is the language with respect to the lying down, standing up, fully extending her limbs, or turning around freely is language that's similarly used in other statutes regarding animals. For example, CRS 3550.5102 concerns the confinement of calves raised for veal and pregnant sows. And it indicates that a calf raised for veal shall be kept in a manner that allows the calf to stand up, lie down, and turn around without touching the sides of the enclosure. And the intent of the proponents in including that language in the title is to signal to voters that this type of confinement is, you know, what the rules are sort of bounding the confinement. And voters who care about this issue would be familiar, you know, with that language. That it's not confinement that is in the bounds on the confinement that is already in the statutes.
Could we?
I just don't think we usually go into that much detail.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind saying, you know, to freely turn around. I mean, it seems like freely turn around encompasses the other.
I mean, how could you freely turn around, but you couldn't stand or sit? I mean, if we could just shorten it to something else to indicate what we mean, that we mean you can't put them in a pin that they can't have movement.
Sure. To say in a manner which restricts and I don't know
movement.
They obviously
there's going to be some restriction,
move,
but
they can move some, even though they can't perhaps turn all the way around. I mean,
my suggestion doesn't I think do quite what Ms. Clark hopes, but it would be to say something a little bit more general about limiting the time and manner or methods dairy cows may be confined. That suggests both that there are exceptions as to the times at transportation and the methods.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
time and manner.
Cowards.
I mean, maybe instead of time, circumstances, or I don't know.
The duration, or.
Well, it is a circumstance, like transport or whatever.
So it's.
Would restricting natural movement be something that might be a little shorter?
Just natural movement might be in a pasture. I mean, I don't
know that.
Yeah, it might not really inform the voter of.
Yeah, I think, you know, the intent of the initiative is really to address kind of extreme confinement.
Right.
And I think one concern is without defining confinement further, I mean, it could be a cow that's sort of in this room and is confined, and we're not trying to prohibit that kind of activity. It's really the extreme confinement of the natural movement. That seems a little less neutral than, you know, extreme confinement of natural movement. But, you know, if the board feels comfortable with that language, I mean, that might get at it. I think the turnaround freely phrase, rather than using all of the lying down, standing up, fully extending your limbs, that Deputy Secretary Steyer suggested might also get at the type of confinement that they can turn around freely.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind putting back in a way that restricts or prevents. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what kind of pronouns and stuff we're supposed to be using here with cows.
The cows are hers.
It's a dairy cow.
That's true. Dairy cows are supposed to all be she's.
The limiting right. The circumstances.
I think
in
they
which,
actually are.
Well, that goes back to my concern that the definition is actually broader than that.
I don't know what your male cow is producing.
Well,
for dairy,
a male but. Cow can be a cow, can be living on a bovine living on a farm, right? Cows, male bulls, steer are bovines, I think. And they can live on a farm that is at least partially used for making milk. That's my concern.
But we don't
have to fight about the pronoun. But that's just, it does raise my point that the definitions can be broader than what we might think of as a dairy cow. So if we wanted to add more detail, you could say limiting the circumstances in which dairy cows may be confined in a way that restricts their ability to
turn around,
lay down or turn around or whatever.
Turn around freely.
Turn around freely.
That's probably good enough. If you do that, I'm not sure you need the and manner that I suggested before.
Yeah.
I think that captures both the intent of the prohibition and the exceptions.
Okay. We want to move on to the next.
Yes.
Which, again, I just feel like that's
too much.
Too much detail. And I mean, it's difficult because it's the transportation to, it's the acceptance by. I don't know that I really want to get into describing the various locations.
The proponents changed the subject of this clause in part to avoid some of the difficulties with sort of who this provision, you know, this part of the initiative applies to or not, to the cows themselves, because I think that simplifies the language a little bit. I agree that the slaughtering facility, livestock market, feedlot, or similar facility, perhaps we could find a more common noun there to get rid of the
Or
know,
could
three
we just
others.
Say cows who,
facilities?
Yeah, cows who will not stand unassisted. I mean, you can't
walk unless you can stand.
Right? Now, what they say about your kids from being transported to certain facilities or something like that, or. I don't know. That doesn't really capture it. But
transported to or accepted by certain facilities. I mean, really, again, the idea is that if the voters want to know exactly what facilities are involved, they have other sources of information to.
Yeah, but we kind of know what sort of facilities we're talking about, and I feel like we should at least.
So my thought was. To capture both the transportation and the treatment, to say, to combine kind of those two and say something regulating the transportation and treatment of cows, I guess.
I think it's supposed to be dairy cows. I think the measure still, again, is just dairy cows.
Fine, right. Dairy cows, and then
despite
however we decide to describe them. Dairy cows, whatever we define it as, who will not. So regulate, it would basically be just regulating the transportation and treatment of however you want to describe
of
them.
Dairy cows who will not stand unassisted.
Stand up or, right.
Or will not or cannot.
That's in the definition, right? It says will not stand or walk unassisted.
Okay.
So this was actually what prompted my question about pronouns, which is not really a pronoun, but who, if cows are entitled to the who or that, I'm generally keep who to human beings, but I'm okay with it either way.
You think she is a catchphrase? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
That.
Yeah, I think it's a that.
That was my point.
Either way, you personalize them.
That clause, the regulating the transportation and treatment of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted, is much shorter and I believe captures the you know, a lot of what the initiative does. I guess one concern to be raised would be that, you know, the issue that the initiative is trying to get at really is the transportation of downer cows to slaughtering facilities. And sort of their kind of, you know, so transporting those cows to, for example, the vet for treatment. My only concern would be making sure that voters understand that.
Well, if we try again to indicate the types of facilities, whether you could say certain livestock facilities, I think that's a fair.
How about, we were kind of getting at the treatment of the dairy cows. Could we, would something like regulating the transportation of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted to or from slaughtering or feedlot markets and facilities? Oh, how about for the purpose of slaughter? Regulating the transportation of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted. Regulating the transportation and treatment of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted for the purpose of slaughter.
Are they taken to a feedlot for slaughter? And I beg ignorance because, again, I don't know.
Slaughterhouse.
Eventually,
well, but,
right?
But your laundry list includes feedlot, and that's not, I don't know that.
Is a correct. Feedlot a slaughter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so maybe it would be better just to collapse those in together and say maybe a slaughtering or feedlot facility.
I suggested just certain livestock facilities. I mean, because.
Aren't they all livestock markets?
The proponents just clarified for me that animals go to a feedlot for the purpose of slaughter. That's where they would go. They might be transported directly to a slaughterhouse, but they also might be transported to the feedlot to then, the only place they go after that is to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, but that's not what it says. I mean, that's a conclusion of. Can you say
perhaps a slaughtering
market facilities or something like that?
How about slaughtering or feedlot facility? Or slaughtering facility or feedlot?
I'm not too comfortable with the slaughter word.
No, I see. I mean, and again, you know, my experience is somewhat limited, but I mean, you know, taking them to a livestock market, my idea is that they're taken there to be sold and maybe eventually for slaughter. Same with the feedlot, they're taken to the feedlot, and whether these folks, these cows, because they can't stand, but usually they're taken to a feedlot maybe to fatten up before they're sold for slaughter. I understand that, but I don't know that it's clear that it's purely directly in relation to these cows for slaughter. And so I'm a little uncomfortable with that, making that jump. And that's why I'm more comfortable with livestock facilities without making the conclusion as to.
Right.
Yeah, I think that would be acceptable, certain livestock facilities. And that would clarify the issue regarding the medical treatment. The proponents would be comfortable with that.
The question is where you put it.
Well, just who will not stand unassisted to livestock.
No.
Oh.
I think it may.
Oh,
go
so
up
transportation
front.
To livestock facilities and treatment of cows? I don't know.
Transportation.
My concern is with the sort of disjunction in the preposition of the and with the of.
Right. Sounds like all cows.
Mm-hmm. How about regulating the transportation and treatment of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted to or from certain livestock facilities?
What if
or to certain livestock facilities?
And as an alternative, perhaps we could say regulating the transportation to and treatment at livestock facilities of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted.
I think once they get to the facility, there's no treatment
No.
Issue, is
well,
it?
They, if they're
it's
delivered
a little funky,
there,
right?
There's, I think the measure requires at that point, if they're taken to a facility, the facility is responsible for putting the cow down.
Yeah, that's what 2D says. If you accept it, you have to
put it down,
treat it, or put right. it down.
Okay.
2C is a little bit the parallel provision in 2C is a little bit less obvious to me because so it says you can't take your right if you have one a non-ambulatory dairy cow you can't take it to one of these places and you sort of have to euthanize it or treat it. So if you just discover one on your farm without ever having intended to move it anywhere, I think that applies, although it's a little bit tucked in there. I'm not sure that's really all that necessary. I mean, the other option would be regulating the treatment of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted and prohibiting their transportation to certain livestock facilities.
That puts the subject, I think, a little bit more up front, that construction.
I think that's pretty good. I don't know.
So on the certain livestock facilities, I wonder with sort of this new language, if maybe we could if it would make sense to say regulating their transportation to, slaughtering or slaughtering facilities or feedlots. To be a little bit more specific there, now that that's kind of at the end and maybe wouldn't distract too much from that clause.
I'm comfortable with the phrase as it is now.
Yeah, I am too.
I think I would leave that part of it. I don't love having regulating in there twice. We could either just delete the second one if that gets...
On line 8, before there, take that out.
Or change it to prohibiting or something. I think it's okay with that word deleted.
Okay. I'm fine with it that way. And then I think we don't need to... Whether it's important, because we're talking already regulating the treatment, we can remove the language that currently exists on lines 10,
oh, right.
11, and 12 through the semicolon.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's all encompassed in... And then in terms of implementing legislation, we include that phrase, whether we could just say, and directing the enactment of implementing legislation, including penalty provisions. I don't think to say the General Assembly is important.
That's closer to what we did on the last one.
And I think the only other issue I see offhand, and this is just to conform it to the way we dealt with the same issue in earlier measures, is up on lines 3 and 4, that we take out the reference to the veterinarian, and we just talk about except when medically necessary to treat sick or injured cows.
Great.
And take out as determined by a licensed veterinarian. Could we switch it to it all being condensed so that we can read what it says then?
I realize that I keep coming back to this language of the certain livestock facilities. I, with the respect to the concern that this could deal with the treatment of an animal being transported to a veterinarian, I wonder if sort of a voter might interpret certain livestock facilities to be a big animal vet for hospital, for example. And being a little bit more specific about the types of livestock facilities really does get at the intent of this measure. And I know it's, we're certainly not construing what the effect of the measure is, but the definition and use of the language in the measure as to sort of specifically the slaughtering facility, livestock market, feedlot, those are the specific types of facilities. And I know we run the risk of having it be a little bit longer, but being more specific in that regard, the proponents feel may better inform voters.
Well, what about livestock markets? I mean, would that be more?
What about if we say certain livestock facilities, including, and then use a couple of examples? Or
I'm not adverse. It's just I don't know that to say slaughtering and feedlots are inclusive of everything.
Including would at least make, I forget which Latin phrase it is, but including leaves open the idea that there are other.
And feedlot. And then I'm not sure that we need the comma after cow on line 3. That's all one part of the phrase.
So I'm not sure I would call it slaughtering facilities as opposed to slaughterhouses when we're writing the title. So the one question I had that's related to that is whether it would make sense to change transportation to transport. Transportation, regulating transportation to me suggests something like you got to have this kind of truck or, you can't drive on this kind of road. Whereas transport is the act of the idea of moving them from one place to another as opposed to the kind of form of moving them. I don't know if anybody else shares that question. Or even something like transfer, because that might get at the idea of, that it's both. You can't transport it and you can't accept it, which is two sides of a transfer, I guess. But transport may be the best I can come up with.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Transfer.
I'm fine with that.
Do you prefer transport or transfer?
I think transfer. I mean, if someone could come get them, they could go somewhere.
That's fine.
So let's see. I was. I think the and on line 3 needs to go away, and probably the comma after cows should be a semicolon.
Yep.
Whatever happened to the idea of letting us use bullet points?
The legislature said no.
I've done that before.
More than one sentence. Periods. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. You want to switch it back to the reflecting the changes? And I'll make a motion. I would move that we adopt the changes to the staff draft to number 101 as reflected on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so as it reads now, it's an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the treatment of dairy cows and in connection therewith, prohibiting a dairy farm owner or operator for cutting or removing the tail of a dairy cow except when medically necessary to treat sick or injured cows, limiting the circumstances in which dairy cows may be confined in a way that restricts their ability to turn around freely, regulating the treatment of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted and their transfer to certain livestock facilities, including slaughterhouses and feedlots, and directing the enactment of implementing legislation, including penalty provisions.
And I would move adoption of the title you just read for number 101.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So that takes us to the final initiative, which is 2013-2014, number 102.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary Steyert. My name is Sarah Clark from Brownstein Hyatt Farber Schreck. I am here on behalf of the proponents for Initiative 102, Jacqueline Payune and Mike Calicrate. These are the same proponents for Initiative 101, and I'll just incorporate my record with respect to who the proponents are here, that these are the two proponents. For the record, the proponents are here in attendance and have signed the affidavit as required by statute. The differences between Initiative 102 and 101 that we just heard is that Initiative 102 is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes and not an amendment to the Colorado Constitution. And the only other difference is that rather than directing the General Assembly to enact implementing legislation, including penalty provisions, it designates a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor.
Okay. So let's, let's do a single subject. And, Steve, if you can put up the old question.
Okay. I would move that we find that number 102 constitutes a single subject and proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
With respect to the title, given that the contents of the provisions are similar, the proponents would suggest that we maybe start with the title from Initiative 101 and then change the provision regarding the designation of the violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor, substituting that in for the designation of implementing legislation.
Right. Okay. So where we have for establishing.
Oh. Yep.
What are we?
No, we wanted the version for 101.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's what we adopted for 101? From 101?
But we got non-ambulatory. And, okay. All
right. It's been a long meeting.
Long meeting.
Yeah. A 3-day meeting. We totally understand and appreciate that. 101. That's it.
You were just testing us, weren't you? I think you can take all of it out. You want to take a stab at where you were starting?
Oh, just, and what did we have on the other one about how did we word the?
And designating a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor.
There we go. So where the last and is? Well, I think you can just cross that, yeah. We're going to take that out and then put in her language.
Phrase. Yeah. The whole last phrase.
There we go. As a Class 2 misdemeanor. And we're going to do a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes.
It's on line one. Take out an amendment. Anyone? A should be instead of an. A change. Sorry.
Home stretch. Home stretch.
We're almost there.
Want to move the changes?
I would move the changes to the staff draft for number 102 as reflected on the screen.
Second.
All right, so as it reads now, it's a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the treatment of dairy cows and in connection therewith prohibiting a dairy farm owner or operator from cutting or removing the tail of a dairy cow except when medically necessary to treat sick or injured cows, limiting the circumstances in which dairy cows may be confined in a way that restricts their ability to turn around freely, regulating the treatment of dairy cows that will not stand unassisted and their transfer to certain livestock facilities, including slaughterhouses and feedlots, and designating a violation as a Class 2 misdemeanor.
May I seek just a clarification? Was there a vote on the single subject?
We did, yes.
We did on this
yeah.
one.
Yes.
It was before all the changes to the board. Yeah.
I would move adoption of the title you just read for number 102.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. And that concludes the business before the board, and the meeting is adjourned.